It's podcast time on XFM. The breakfast show best bits are in. Lots of chat and interviews and less bits with Matt Dyson.
Hello there and welcome to podcast 53 from the XFM breakfast show with me, Danny Wallace. And in many ways, it's something of an special. 22 of a whole of sport. If this podcast could win a medal, it would be a winning podcast. Why do you keep bleeping everything? You're a real stickler, aren't you? Why do you keep bleeping everything?
I'm not going to get in trouble.
Well, you keep bleeping all the words. It's the Olympics. Stop it. Stop bleeping it. It's the Stop bleeping that. It's the Stop it.
Listen, I'm not... I can't
just make the coffee, Steve.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Well, this is an unusual story, isn't it? A Randy Zoo ape trying to mate with Tom Jones.
Oh, yeah.
It's all there for you, isn't it?
That's all I need.
I mean, I can just leave it there. It's one of those stories where I can just leave it there.
Maybe we should have more detail.
Yeah. All right, here's more detail. Pop legend Sir Tom Jones has told, and I apologize, this is the language in the newspaper, but he says, pop legend Sir Tom Jones has told how he once escaped a sex attack by Randy Orangutan. These are things you don't expect to say out loud in your life. and you certainly don't want to read about. The voice star says that he was so irresistible at his pop peak. That even caged animals wanted to pet him. I mean, that's a man with confidence, isn't it? Sir Tom confessed, my manager used to have a zoo in his back garden. Too much money. And he used to keep all these different kinds of animals there. I went there and he had this orangutan. It was sexy, if you know what I mean. I don't, I'm afraid, Tom.
No.
I don't really know what you mean by that. That's not what's happening here. I think I must have read this wrong. I went there and he had this orangutan. It was sexy, if you know what I mean. I went up to the cage. Here's what he's saying. I went up to the cage and he was pouting at me. This is like a weird... It's like I've gone into a strange Mills and Boone audiobook. Romantic music for this. He put one arm on me. Then when its foot, it tried to drag me into the cage. I almost thought I'd had it.
Whoa.
He nearly did. He nearly did. Imagine that bearing down on you. Orangutan, not Tom Jones. I'm not... Imagine Tom Jones bearing down on you.
Whoa.
The big, big hands. The it's not unusual hitmaker said...
That's what I know him as. Well, Tom Jones, the it's not unusual hitmaker. Oh, yeah, we all call him that.
Yeah, I love those. He said, I was holding onto my manager like a shield, thinking, and he was thinking, well, if he comes to me, then you're going to get it. Yeah, blimey, everyone nearly did. Gosh, what an unusual story.
Did you make an impression then? It's not unusual.
It was a hint. It was a rumour of a cousin, of a hint, of a sniff of an impression, merely there to create a magical image within
you.
Accurate,
yeah.
It was all right, wasn't it? Morgan Freeman, everybody. Me and Dave met the great man yesterday. He was super cool, wasn't he? At the end, he asked for a cuppa. He even used that.
He did.
Such a good answer. So assimilated into British society was he. He even used that that phrase. He sort of said, Dawn, can I get a cuppa? It was very nice to see. He was great. He's in Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, which is out tonight. We went and see it. It was a fantastic film. So here is Morgan Freeman. Good morning, you with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Before me sits an icon in many ways. I would say as recognisable audibly as he is visually. I will prove that. Here is his voice.
How do you do, Danny? I'm glad to be here with you.
It's Morgan Freeman. Mr. Freeman, thank you so much for talking to us today.
It's a pleasure, I assure you.
Well, look, what a big, big film this is. The Dark Knight Rises. Does he ever?
I don't think your radio audience can see me nodding.
Well, do you do that? Do you narrate your own life with your narrator's voice there?
That's a good idea.
That's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea at all.
Just externalising your inner monologue there. I'm nodding. But what a great film. From the opening scenes, a huge statement of intent. You know you're in for a huge treat. Even with your wealth of acting experience, it must still be exciting to be in a film this big.
Oh, absolutely. How well put. It is very exciting to be in a film like this. So this is number three like this.
Absolutely.
And they keep going higher and higher, getting better and better. So I'm happy to say, really happy to say, that we've now come to the end of the road.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, because there's a lot of resolution in this film, a lot of loose ends tied up very neatly, but there are still the odd kind of unanswered questions.
Yes, they are, but I think that that's just the way it goes.
Is that right?
I could almost bet, I could bet, that we're not going to come back with a fourth one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So people better go and see it now, essentially.
Well, yeah, this is the last of a trilogy. It was truly a trilogy. Chris Nolan meant for it to be a trilogy. And it's not to say that this is the end of the franchise.
Exactly. They're going to reboot it at some point, aren't they?
At some point, someone's going to reboot it, yes.
The bar is very high at the moment, though, especially in terms of the cast. It seems like a cast that would be very hard to improve upon.
Well, thank you for that, because you're including me.
Yeah. But I mean, there's you, Tom Hardy, Christian Bale, Anne Hathaway. It just goes on and on.
Kane, yeah.
Yeah, Sir Michael, who has a very interesting role in this. I noticed that he had to do a lot of scenes where he'd get very emotional, then leave frame.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, I mean, obviously he has to bring that emotion to the fore.
Yeah.
You can do that, you know.
No. I cannot do what Michael can do. He studied method acting, and by that we mean the Stanislavski method of preparation, whereby you can recall certain things that become immediate for you.
Like a dark place or a sad time.
Yeah, I didn't study that at all. I'm very intuitive, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So let's say that you were trying to get your way out of, say, a parking ticket. You couldn't just start weeping.
No, Denzel Washington can.
Can he?
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, no, he can. I've seen him do it.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Not many men can say that.
And I've seen Michael Caine do it a number of times.
Off screen?
Never off screen.
That would be abusing their powers, I suppose.
Maybe.
I will just ask you one thing. On my show this week, we've been covering a very big London story, not the Olympics. Are you familiar with a building called the Gherkin?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, you'll spot it next time you're in a cab or something, because it looks a bit like a gherkin.
Okay.
And London Zoo have decided that
that's
they...
pickle, the...
Exactly. It looks like a pickle.
Okay.
And London Zoo have decided they want to turn it into a giant penguin instead, which I think is a wonderful idea, to have a giant kind of penguin-looking thing overlooking London instead of, say, a pickle.
Six in one, I haven't done the other.
But it got me thinking, like, in terms of you, the reason I think it would be better as a penguin is that when you got the script for, say, March of the Penguins, I mean, you know, the narration, but it's such a powerful, brilliantly conceived documentary. Had that instead been titled March of the Gherkins, would Morgan Freeman have passed on it, or would you have leapt on board and said, I'm in?
I don't think I would have even gotten the script.
Really? Well, I think that's the answer, isn't it? I think, yeah, the penguin all the way.
XFM.
Did you enjoy Secret Garden Party, Dave? You went to Secret Garden Party?
Yes, I did, but it's good to be back.
Is it?
Yeah.
You didn't have a good time then?
I had an amazing time.
Oh, good. I'm pleased. Talk me through it.
I missed work. Well, it was very muddy.
Was it?
Yeah, ridiculously muddy, but then the sun came out, which is why my little arms are a little bit red.
Oh, look at your tiny arms.
Yeah, look at my tiny arms, a little bit red.
Yeah.
It was great. 2 years ago, though, when I went to Secret Garden Party, yeah. I had the worst disaster ever, where I threw a frisbee, and it...
All right, whatever this disaster is... No story that is worthy of the phrase, the worst disaster ever, begins with, I threw a frisbee. What happened?
I threw a frisbee, and it landed in between two people, and I went over to apologise, and he had the ring out, and he was mid-proposal.
You're joking.
And his face was... They laughed it off, but you could tell he was a little bit annoyed.
You interrupted the most important moment of two people's lives with a frisbee.
Yeah.
Why were you throwing a frisbee at some random people?
I just overthrew it by accident. I didn't know my own strength, Danny.
Why didn't the other person go and get it?
Because I was the one that threw it, and it was way off target, and so I had to go and apologise, thinking that would be it. And then he says, well, it would have been fine, but I was just mid-proposal.
And then I
sat down after I think it was a bad glass of wine, actually.
Oh, no, the turn. Yeah.
And then I sat down and decided to chat to them for half an hour about the wedding plans.
What a magical time they must have had at Secret Garden Party. Oh, I hope they're listening now and they've just suddenly recognised your voice as the boring frisbee man from Secret Garden Party 2 years ago.
XFM.
We've got some terrific good news. Some of it does use banned words, though. You do have to be very, very careful this morning. We're already running low on the kitty, aren't we? The upcoming sporting event, kitty. I said the middle word. Yeah. Okay. I'll take the hit for that one. Yeah. Let's get the good news in the studio.
I'm looking forward to the upcoming season of events. Now, without getting too specific, of all these seasons of events, of the past or the future, this season of events, the upcoming one, is set to be one of the best seasons of events yet.
It's good.
All the events in one season, huh? A season so event-packed that this year, just 12 years after the millennium...
Oh,
is that still banned?
Yeah.
Can't say that, even after 12 years, guys.
No, that's... You knew that, right. I thought you knew that.
Yeah, is already being called a great upcoming season of events. So, come on, capital dwellers. I can say capital, can't I?
Don't think so.
Let's give it a sporting chance. Sporting as well.
Yeah, and chance, weirdly.
Chance!
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Dave, I asked you to get me Emma Edwards.
You did?
My favourite head of communications of any zoo in the world. I include Dusseldorf in that as well. Emma Edwards, are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, Emma. You're fresh off the tube, I believe.
I have.
Well, Emma, here's the big news. When we talked to you yesterday, you said you wanted to get Boris Johnson on board, yeah? For your...
I did.
You're transforming, hopefully, the gherkin into a giant penguin. How is that going?
It's going quite well.
What movement has there been since last we talked?
Well, I saw Boris Johnson in a bookshop on Wednesday.
Okay.
And I cornered him.
You cornered him?
I cornered him, and he was a little bit dismissive. But you've got better news.
I've got better news, Emma, much better news. Because yesterday we were granted 5 minutes. You only get 5 minutes with these guys. You get 5 minutes with Morgan Freeman. We talked about a lot of stuff, Emma. We talked about the Stanislavski technique of acting. He gave us a minor exclusive confirmation, at least from his point of view, that the new Batman will be the last Batman. He gave us a little showbiz anecdote about Michael Caine and Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
All of that crammed in to just 4 minutes. And in the last minute, I used that for you, Emma Edwards, Head of Communications at London Zoo, and your campaign.
I wanted to see
whether he was behind it. Here's the clip. Are you familiar with a building called the Gherkin?
No, I'm afraid not.
London Zoo have decided they want to turn it into a giant penguin instead, which I think is a wonderful idea, to have a giant kind of penguin-looking thing overlooking London instead of, say, a pickle.
Six in one hand, and the other.
The reason I think it would be better as a penguin is that when you got the script for, say, March of the Penguins, I mean, you know, the narration, such a powerful, brilliantly conceived documentary, had that instead been titled March of the Gherkins, would Morgan Freeman have passed on it, or would you have leapt on board and said, I'm in?
I don't think I would have even gotten the script.
Really? So there you go, Emma. He's saying no to the gherkin, yes to the penguin.
Amazing.
Talk me through your thoughts. You can probably take the morning off, can't you now?
I think I will. I'm off to do some shopping.
What would you like to say to Mr. Freeman?
I'd like to say, Mr. Freeman, thank you very much. And you're welcome at London Zoo anytime. You're a friend of ours forever.
Excellent. And if out of 100, Boris Johnson was, say, a 70, where would you place Morgan Freeman on the scale of excellence?
Oh, 101.
101! Wow. Well, he's on board, Emma. Write the press release quickly. We need some movement on this. We need to get this going. I hope this wasn't just a publicity thing.
No. We are...
There's an underage drinker, and underage drinkers shouldn't be drinking underage. That's the first thing, you know?
There's a lot of bad wine out there.
A lot of bad wine out there doing the rounds. Anyway, he tried to get into a pub using fake ID, right? Fake ID. Quite right, Matt. Matt's looking very, very angry. And Dorman got suspicious when they studied this this fake ID. And it said Rodney Trotter. And so they read on, and the address said 23 Nelson Mandela House, Peckham. And it had his birth date as 1960. And I refer you to the first sentence I said in this story, which was an underage drinker. It didn't look 52, is what I'm saying. Then he looked at the picture, and it was, of course, of Nicholas Lyndhurst. So he's trying his best, this kid. You know, he's going, well, this is the best I've got. He's misunderstood fundamentally, I think, fake ID. Yeah. This wasn't fake ID for here, it was just some fake ID.
Joke ID.
Someone else's ID. The pub boss in Newquay said, I haven't seen a celebrity ID used like that. So we put it through the scanner. It didn't work. And he fled. But Inspector Ian Drummond-Smith said the fake idea could have got him jailed. What a harsh reaction. Whoa. He said, A forged license. I might as well. I'm going to imagine that he's Scottish. He went, a forged license can get you 2 years. People should think very, very hard about the consequences. We are. It's exciting times. You know, the sun's out. Opening ceremony on Friday. The Olympians are arriving.
Yeah.
They walk amongst us.
Yes.
No, they walk amongst us. And if you're listening a bit earlier, you'll know that myself and Dave here, we made the Norwegian news last night.
Yes, we did.
We were just walking across a bridge the other day. Just two guys hanging out, admiring Big Ben and the London Eye and thinking about how lucky we are to live in a city such as this at a time such as this. And we were pounced upon by a Norwegian lady and a cameraman who wanted our thoughts on the Olympics, and we're excited about Olympics. So it was on the news last night in Norway.
Ska føre til totalt trafikkaos. Likevel gleder londonere seg.
I'm looking forward to the Olympics, yeah, and all my friends are looking forward to the Olympics, and I think real people are looking forward to the Olympics, yes. But we're being told that we shouldn't, in a sense. I think traffic-wise, it's hellish, but it's still an amazing spectacle. London will be at the centre of the world for a few weeks, so no, I'm into it.
Why?
Yes, I'm really looking forward to
Dave.
It. I've got caught up in the excitement of of it coming to London. They've been preparing for what seems like years now, so I'm really looking forward to it finally starting.
Yeah, so that's us. Spreading the word throughout the Scandinavian territories, and we are excited. Yeah. Other radio shows will take that kind of that cynical edge towards it, right? And we're not like that. We welcome the Olympics to London. Yesterday after the show, I was walking around just in Covent Garden, and I saw the first of, I guess, the Olympic. I don't know how you describe them. The fun police, the brand police, dressed all in very sort of bright clothing, on the lookout for businesses who are illegally using words such as London, summer, Olympics, gold, silver, and bronze. And there was, of course, that story, wasn't there, a day or two ago about the butcher. Butcher somewhere, I think he's in Greater London somewhere. And he had arranged his sausages to look a bit like Olympic rings. Oh. He was rightly shut down.
Yeah.
And threatened with a £20,000 fine.
Bang out of order.
Bang out of order. We cannot have rogue butchers arranging sausages in the shape of the Olympic rings.
His bangers were out of order.
He was banger out of order, wasn't he? So, I mean, you know, and as I'm walking around, I'm watching these people going around and on the lookout for businesses that they can punish, okay? And I tweeted about it. I just sent a little tweet and I said, you know, I approve of this. We should take it further than mere fines. There should be arrests going on, things like that. So that's my texter this morning. Have you spotted any improper uses of Olympic-branded words? There'll be some people listening going, Danny, no, it's your texter. How can we protect the interests of our multinationals at the expense of local businesses? No, that is not what I'm saying, right? You've missed the point. So, I mean, you know, I saw, for example, I saw a woman buying bronzer. Bold as brass. Brass you can use. Bronzer you can't. Mm. Wrestled her to the ground. I walked past, I saw a shop called British Home Stores, sailing a little too close to the wind for me, but I let that one go. I started thinking about the little chef and their Olympic breakfast. The arrogance of that phrase, eh? Mm. Hopefully a SWAT team will crack down on that. Mm. I was in a cab. The guy had capital gold on. Oh. For goodness sakes, that's a double, isn't it?
Yeah.
Capital gold. I grabbed the steering wheel, brought the vehicle to a safe stop. He's now in custody. I'm telling you, Spandau Ballet better have some good lawyers. That's what I'm thinking. Quite Matt, right. Have you seen anything out there? Have you seen anything that we should report?
Only major sponsors should be allowed to use these things.
Absolutely
these
right.
Images and these words.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
We have to understand, Matt, this isn't our summer.
Exactly.
This isn't our London. They belong to corporate sponsors. That's only fair.
They've put the money in.
They paid for it, you know, and it was, you know, they paid. Who did they pay for it, London and summer? I'm not sure who they paid for it, but it was definitely theirs to sell. That's not debatable. No one's arguing with that.
No.
And these people, these small independent traders trying to cash in on the Olympics by creating a sense of celebration and community. The Olympics are not about celebration or community. Just get it into your thick skulls or pay up.
That's not what they wanted in ancient Greece all those years ago.
No. So what have you seen, Matt?
Well, this outraged me yesterday. Yeah. I went home and I took all the rings off my fiance's fingers because they are Olympic rings, and I have confiscated them until the 9th of September after the Paralympics finish.
Good.
She won't have them back until then.
No, absolutely.
Flouting the rules.
Good for you. Yeah. She has to learn. Dave, what have you seen?
Unbelievable. scene. So, well, I saw a teenager quite literally sprinting for a bus the other day.
You can't sprint.
So I had to slow him down to a casual walk, obviously. Yeah, and also, someone buying some silver spoon sugar.
Oh.
Get it back on the shelf, please. That's until the 9th of September.
That's disgraceful. Jen got in touch on Twitter just to say, I saw a war veteran flagrantly wearing his gold war medal, so I pushed him over. So that's Mark just said, just saw a lady in the cafe with some egg on a spoon. Sniper took her out. Adrian saw a man about to bite into a wisp of gold.
Oh,
he knocked it out of his hand. Joseph said, I asked a shopkeeper how far to the nearest bus station. 800 metres was his reply. And immediately one of those rooftop missiles took him out. Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show, and before me sits a young man, a fine actor. It's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Hello.
Hello, thanks for the kind words.
Well, that's all right. Would you like some more?
Oh, sure.
Well, it's a little needy. Little needy.
You asked, man.
Yeah. You seem nice.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
You too.
Thank you. No, I've always thought that. Are you a nice man? You seem a nice man.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. Sure.
You try and be nice whenever you can.
Yeah, I find if you're nice to people, they tend to be nice to you most of the time.
That's good. It's the Joseph Gordon-Levitt way. Congratulations on the film. It's fantastic.
Thanks so much, man.
It's brilliant. Big, bold, proper summer blockbuster. Such excitement across London as well while this has been all happening. Our studios are on Leicester Square, where yesterday they were lining up from sort of 5 in the morning to bag their places just to say hello to you guys as you arrived.
Indeed.
What was the response like at the premiere?
Well, people love Batman. They love these movies, and I feel the same way, man. I consider myself a fan before a participant. I mean, I was such a fan of these first two movies. Mm. I remember when Batman Begins came out, and I thought to myself, oh, the filmmaker who made Memento is making a Batman movie. That's interesting. I want to see that. And then I loved it. And then The Dark Knight's just one of the coolest things I've ever seen in the cinema. You know?
They became incredibly cool, didn't they? They went a bit darker, a bit grittier. They went away from the kind of the camp Batman of old towards this incarnation. Like you say, I mean, there must be a pressure. If you're a fanboy, two things. The first, what was it like to get the call when they said, we want you to be in Batman?
I was just kind of flabbergasted and, you know, deeply honored. I had so much fun working with Chris on Inception, and I would do really anything he asked me to, but then to be a part of this is just, I mean, words fail.
And two, being a fanboy of Batman, the pressure must be enormous because of all the other huge fans of a franchise like this.
Yeah, you know, I don't think of it as pressure so much. I find it inspiring that people care so deeply about it, because movies are something that I care deeply about. And sometimes in our culture, they're thought of as something more disposable. And that's not how I feel. They're important to me. And so it's great to be a part of something that was so important to so many people.
That's an excellent spin on that question.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's good. Went away from pressure and into celebrating it.
Well, that's what you got to do, man. If you start going down the road of, oh, I'm feeling pressure here, you're screwed. That's acting for you. It's a head game.
It's like life lessons this morning from Joseph Gordon-Levitt. We had the...
Hey, you know, I try to do my best.
Yeah. And being a massive fan of these things, and when you got the call, to come in at the end is great, but also frustrating.
I wasn't frustrated at all. No, I'm satisfied that there's such a great ending. You know, they make a lot of sequels, and sometimes they call them a trilogy. Mm. But it's not really a trilogy. It's just another sequel to try to get more of your money. You know what I mean? but this trilogy truly is one. It has a beginning and a middle and an end.
Yeah, there's a lot of resolution. There's a lot of loose ends tied up as well. Still some unanswered questions, which I won't in any way go into. What a great cast as well.
I mean, so many of the greatest actors alive are all in this movie. It's pretty flabbergasting.
It would be hard to improve on were there ever to be another Batman incarnation. I mean, clearly the franchise will live on in some way in the future, but this cast, this kind of this trilogy is done.
There was one day I was standing on a hilltop with Christian Bale.
Is this a true story? Because this sounds a bit romantic and like something out of a musical.
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
Are you going to break into song?
No.
Right. You were standing on a hilltop.
I was standing on a... It was a hilltop in Nottingham.
Oh, and, I'm so sorry.
with Christian Bale, Gary Oldman, Morgan Freeman, and Michael Caine. And me. Wow. What the hell am I doing here?
What the hell am I doing in Nottingham is the question. So you, Kane, Freeman, presumably you all went to Nando's, you got some fried chicken, you probably went down to the shopping centre, were popped into Superdrug, that kind of thing. There's not much to do in Nottingham is what I'm saying.
Right, no, but the Superdrug's nice.
Oh, is it?
Sure.
Good. Well, we're very big in the XFM Nottingham Superdrug demographic, so we're very pleased you enjoyed Nottingham. What an odd twist that interview took. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, thank you so much for joining us on XFM.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you soon, I hope.
Cheers.
XFM. A little while ago, I played you the following clip. Talk me through the trials and tribulations of choosing the Miles Kane summer wardrobe.
Well, luckily, I've got these very thin I'm wearing now.
So, what was he wearing? Very thin what? I said, was it A, chinos? Was it B, treccinos? Or was it C, cappuccinos? Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of you entered. Sam says, is it A, chinos? No, Pete says, is it A, chinos? Katie Bovington says, chinos? Someone else says, is it chinos? Paul says, is it chinos? Rebecca says, chinos? Jeanette says, chinos? They all say chinos! They all say chinos! Every single one of them says chinos. It's not chinos.
It's not.
It's treccinos. Just prove it. Prove it. Talk me through the trials and tribulations of choosing the Miles Kane summer wardrobe.
Well, luckily, I've got these very thin treccinos.
Treccinos! Now, I don't know what treccinos are. Dave doesn't know what they are either, but Miles is wearing them. I'm not sure why we chose that clip. Fundamentally, we made a misjudgment there. You're all wrong. So we've had to improvise the rules, and we'll hope you'll be happy with this. Everyone who entered, the computer chose one of you at random. Stephen Essex, what did you answer?
Chinos.
Yeah, it's not chinos. It's treccinos, Steve.
What are they?
I don't know.
We don't know.
No one knows. And that's the right, that's what he was wearing, apparently. So
he should have worn chinos.
He should have worn chinos. Would have made this work a lot better.
I think treccinos are slightly thinner.
Let's stop talking about treccinos. No one knows what they are. Stephen Essex. So there's great sadness in my heart to tell you, you have won the competition. Thank you so much. It's just heartening to see that there are so many people out there on message, Matt.
Yeah.
People who understand. You know, people who understand how it works, how the world works. Mm. These are not our Olympics.
No.
These are not our Olympics. These things should not be allowed. Matt, can you please tell me about any brand theft out there? Any improper uses of gold, silver, bronze, London, summer, Olympics that we can report this morning?
Well, breaking news from Jamie in Greenhithe.
Yeah.
He's in Hatton Garden at the moment.
Oh.
And there are riot police there.
I'm not surprised. All the precious metals, all the...
Exactly. All the rings, all the gold, silver and bronze. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I'm not even going to go into that. Pete
call
said,
the fun police.
Call the fun police, indeed. Pete says, saw a man sprinting for a few moments. A clothesline him as he came past. Alan Britton says, my surname is Britton. Have arrested myself and given me a warning as well as a
hanging
steep fine. Hanging is too good for him. He's not going out for 3 weeks now. Dave says, a friend of mine has 2012 as part of his email address. I've notified the relevant authorities. Good work.
Shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, shouldn't
Andy
be allowed.
Andy in Hornchurch saw a...
It's not our Olympics!
Andy saw a B&Q selling sand with a blatant disregard for the rules surrounding Olympic equipment.
You're kidding me.
You can't sell sand.
You can't sell sand
right now.
What are they thinking? Matt the engineer says, I wandered into Greg's only to discover repetitive misuse of the Olympic rings in donut form.
Oh.
Naturally, I purchased and consumed them all. I've just woken up from a 3-day sugar coma, but I am feeling better. They do not know the lengths to which I am willing to go. Good work, good work. Should be allowed. It's not our Olympics.
Fun police.
Yeah, go on, Matt.
Graham says, for the last few months, my brother has been using sticker rewards for his 4-year-old son.
Sounds all right.
Last night, they were both arrested by a Jack Bauer-like figure because the stickers were gold, silver, and bronze.
Of course. Well, quite right.
That is illegal.
Yorkshire Grey says, yesterday I accidentally found myself walking around with a pocket full of silver coins. How crazy was I? I immediately threw them down on the floor and slowly and carefully backed away whilst alerting the relevant authorities.
Shouldn't be allowed.
But luckily you pulled it through. Stephen Essex just says, I went to a small gathering at the weekend. I spied a plate of party rings with no supervision.
I broke them all in half just to be safe. Good work.
Call the fun police.
Yeah.
Matt. Kev, the milkman in Stepney, is having to be careful how he loads his float because of the different coloured tops.
Yeah.
Which is an issue that needs to be sorted out at the moment.
Absolutely.
Stu in Chelmsford was attending a broken down train when he sourced the fault to be an electrical relay. Verbally reporting this to his senior, he spontaneously combusted on the spot.
Well, quite
Pain's
right.
Too good for
he sent this text before the flames reached his fingers.
Okay, good. Adam in Essex says, I saw a gentleman buying a bronze turkey.
Oh.
I made him release the bird immediately. He was also taking photos with an Olympus camera. It was too close, Danny. Too close for comfort.
Shouldn't be allowed.
Good work, Adam, for shopping that guy. Tim saw a girl dancing on a podium last night. Again, far too close
what
for comfort.
What are they thinking?
What are they thinking? And Joe from Dartford, what's yours?
I saw a bloke in B&Q buying silver paint yesterday, so I pushed him in a display kitchen cupboard and screwed the door shut. Shouldn't be allowed, Danny. These are not our Olympics.
Quite right. Not our Olympics, Joe. Not our Olympics. Thanks. Keep them coming in if you like. I'll drop them throughout the show. We are the friend of the Olympic secret police. I hope we'll remain on air. We are flying in the face of all that commercial radio stands for, I'll be honest.
What are they thinking?
We are
XFM.
All across the UK. Sorry, the US. There's been a spate of thefts. Evil thefts. Because there's an advertising campaign involving large cutouts of the television and film actor David Hasselhoff. And ordinarily I avoid David Hasselhoff stories, not because I've got a problem with the tall man.
Yeah.
The tall man, that's like the worst tabloid thing ever. You know, it's like they'll say the roly-poly comic or whatever. Yeah. I've just come up with the tall man. Not because I've got a problem with the tall man, David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Just because I think there's that veil of irony that people do. Oh, let's talk about David Hasselhoff. It's ironic, all that kind of stuff. But this seems to be a real problem for the tall man. I mean, it's a great cutout. He's enormous. He's even taller than you would think.
Mm.
And he's wearing a very tight vest. And he's holding up an iced coffee and looking very intensely at the camera. Or the person, if you happen to be the person standing in front of it.
Mm.
So they've all started nicking these giant David Hasselhoffs. There were 570 of them. Only 20 remain in existence. It's going the way of the dodo.
Yeah.
We need these. We need these in pairs to carry on. We need these tall men cutouts to mate, so that the smaller cutouts can. This is all a bit weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, the spokesman for the company said that they've never experienced this amount of theft before, but vowed to carry on bravely sending these signs to stores that need them. Up until the campaign ends, while the money's still pouring in.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, would you want one of these? Steve, you turned 22 yesterday. That means at this point of your life, you should be living in a room full of traffic cones, signs that you thought it was funny to nick, but it wasn't.
I imagine I would be, you know, the hit in my friendship group if I had a David Hasselhoff cutout.
Yeah. You call it a friendship group, do you? You don't just say with my mates, with my friends, you call it a friendship
group. No, it's very much a group.
This is the problem with the social networking generation. You've got a group, everything, haven't you? Everything's in a group. So you got a friendship group. What else you got? A family group, a work group?
Family group, work group.
When you're on your own, what do you call that? Just a Steve group?
It's a Steve, a lonely group.
Oh, don't
mono
say
group.
Just a mono group.
Mono group.
Well, David, I mean, what's your opinion on these thefts?
That's not good news. That's great news.
Oh,
he's very much behind this. I never thought I'd see the day where David Hasselhoff, the tall man, would be condoning theft.
Yeah, live in the studio.
Yeah, not really, obviously.
XFM.
Owen. From Lightwater. He's on his way into London right now. And he says he's following a car. And the car, on the back of it, there's a sticker on the back, marked GB. Owen rightly says the car should be impounded.
That is illegal.
Crushed, it is. It's not our Olympics, right? Just get that into your thick skulls, everybody.
XFM.
You know, confirmed listener Marchin. What a marvellous man he is. Yeah. Marvellous man.
I'm backing the campaign to get him as the next mayor of London.
Marching for mayor, is what everybody's saying. You were away when this happened, Matthew, I believe, but Marching was celebrating his 10th anniversary with his lovely wife.
Wow.
And this is what he rang up to tell us.
Good news, guys. Yeah. Today is my
10th wedding anniversary, and I woke up this morning, look at my wife's face, and I feel still so in love with her. So actually every day is like a good news to me. So young lads at work, they taking a mic out of me saying, oh, is it like a life sentence? It's not. It's a wonderful journey through your life with someone so beautiful that make you every day so happy.
Martin, one of the most positive listeners we have. He joins us now on the line. Martin, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, guys.
Martin, everybody!
Good morning. How are you doing?
Your voice is like a smile to me, Martin. How was your weekend?
It was very good, very relaxing. Lots of cuddles on the sofa, romantic movies, you know, couple of glasses of wine. It was very, very pleasant. That's very good. Nice.
You do mean with your wife. You weren't just on the sofa sort of cuddling yourself, watching romantic movies and drinking wine.
That's right. Very nice.
And how did your wife react to the weekend? Was she just as happy as you, I imagine?
Of course she is. Even if she's not, she was acting very well to cover her unhappiness, if she is, obviously.
Oh, that's good. So we're looking forward to the next 10 years is what we're doing there, Martin.
Absolutely.
So, Martin, you know, it's Monday morning. It's before 7. Right. A lot of people are going to be quite tired. They'll have been out this weekend. They won't have followed your very sensible advice that you normally give us, which is enjoy yourself on a Friday, maybe enjoy yourself a bit on a Saturday, maybe go for a walk, hang out with the family or you know, whoever you love on a Sunday.
Yeah.
They won't have done that, Martin. So how can they recover? How can we look on the bright side today?
Well, this week, actually, is my very personal thoughts. And I would like to start with negative things, actually. Last week wasn't very well after all, because my lovely wife, she got a little bit ill. She got very sore throat, bless her. She lost her voice. Well, actually, that can be only good thing, right? next thing, we went for a barbecue, and while fooling around wrestling with my friend in the back garden, as you do after a few beers,
as you do.
I blacked my eye. It looks very embarrassing, I tell you, because people on the street, they won't look at you and say, oh, what happened, man? They will look at you and say, oh, here we go, look at him, just straight from the pub. So I suppose they will judge you in a bad way.
You'd look like a ruffian, Martin, like a ruffian.
Yeah, a little bit, isn't it? A little bit like that. Be careful what you're saying, man.
You're absolutely right.
Another thing is, it's a school holiday, and I'm working whilst everyone is at home. But on a positive note, you don't remember, but I had a good news in January that we give up smoking to save money for holiday.
That's right.
And tomorrow, we are off for 10 days. And when we get back, my wife will be better, my eye won't be black, and I will be at home with kids for another week whilst the wife is at work. Happy days. Have a very good school holiday, guys. The school holiday just started now, so to all students, enjoy yourself, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
FM.
Oh, what a time summer is, you know. It's only when you look outside the window, when you're sort of at work like now, just looking outside Leicester Square, seeing the sun shining, people walking around, they're already happy this time of day. We've got the upcoming season of events to look forward to from Friday. And of course today, another great summer tradition that you've all been looking forward to. I've been looking forward to it as well. Very magical. Magical day, isn't it, today? Because today, of course, is Flying Ants Day.
Yay!
At last! The yearly mating ritual, which sees pavements and gardens just covered with swarms of insects. It's a great time of year, isn't it? I mean, if you're unfamiliar with Flying Ants Day, let me pitch it to you. One of the British summer's greatest spectacles. Enormous numbers of flying ants expected to take advantage of the hot weather to perform their yearly mating ritual, or the nuptial flight. As you're aware, in some places the flying's already begun. In the aftermath, they cover pavements, they cover gardens, they land on cars, they land on passers-by. And they attract swarms of seagulls, eager for a free feast. It's wonderful. Although the ants we normally see scurrying along the ground during the ants are, of course, sterile female worker ants, those seen airborne this week will be males. That's right. And new queens. Many of the common black garden ants. Thousands of colonies will synchronize their emergence to make things more difficult for predators and to increase the chances of obtaining a mate from a different colony prevent inbreeding.
Is this all just off the top of your head?
Yeah, I'm just very excited.
Northern Britain, of course, may follow slightly behind the south, but after mating, the males waste away and die. But the queens, after shedding their wings, they found new colonies, digging a chamber underground for the nest, and will lay eggs for the rest of their lives.
Wow.
It's just a great day.
Awe-inspiring.
It is awe-inspiring. So, Matt, how are you celebrating Flying Ants Day?
Well, it's funny, you mentioned the seagulls getting a free feed. I did hear seagulls in the early hours of this morning.
Well, there you are. That's what's happening.
But I will be, to celebrate today, gathering earth, sand and pine needles in my back garden to build an ant hill.
Welcome
our winged friends.
That's nice.
In case they fancy a rest.
Yeah, that's nice.
Some friends will join me, seven of us. We're all being dressed up like members of the Ant Hill Mob from Penelope Pitstop.
Oh, lovely.
I could never be accused of being anti-ant.
No.
Love the little thing.
Yeah. Dave, how are you celebrating Flying Ant Day?
Well, as I do every Flying Ant Day, I tend to write some sort of poem.
Last year's was a beauty. What have you got this year?
It was a beauty last year, but I'd like to just concentrate on this year's, if that's okay.
Yeah.
As the ants take flight in the early morning light.
Yeah.
Oh, what a sight. Yeah. For their lives, they fight. Try as we might.
Yeah.
Let's not make light.
No.
As the ants take flight.
That's just wonderful. Well, usually, as you guys know, I celebrate Flying Ant Day by sellotaping some translucent wings to my back and fashioning some makeshift pincers from two pairs of stainless steel tongs. And then I hang around schools and parks, just leaping out at children and shouting, "I'm the ant, the mighty ant, see me fly on my special day." And the children, they all pretend to be terrified, they scream and they throw their bags down. It's all part of the game. And I then go through their lunchboxes and feast on their sandwiches, you know, like an ant. It's all part of the game, it's fine. And then some grown-ups arrive and I have to take my tongs off.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
I wanted to talk about one thing, man. One thing in particular. Mm. It's lovely out there, isn't it?
Lovely
day. Summer, sunshine.
The
upcoming season of events.
It's the time of our lives, Daniel.
Everyone's happy. Yeah. Everyone's happy. But I've noticed killjoys. Huh? I saw a killjoy yesterday, Matt. Right. A proper killjoy.
Yeah.
There I was, sauntering along, meandering, weaving in and out of the tourists in London. Happy I was. Happy as a... I can't think of a metaphor, but I was happy. And then I saw a gentleman who wasn't as happy as me, and he had a sandwich board on. You seen these guys?
Right.
There used to be loads of them around, not so many anymore.
Yeah.
The end of the world is nigh.
Oh.
Proper one of them.
Really? They're back?
They're back.
Oh.
They're back.
Oh.
I mean, have I missed something? I didn't see anything in the papers about this. This guy seems to think he's onto something. Mm-hmm. End of the world is nigh. He had this sort of long, lank hair, kind of a wild look about him.
How does he know these things?
How does he know? I mean, we've got access to all the news reports, the news feeds. I've seen nothing.
No.
But I look into it, I'm looking into these things. And obviously there is the whole, there was Harold Camping, wasn't there? And he made the classic mistake, didn't he? He made the mistake of going, it's going to be, and then it was like a specific date, so like March 9th.
Got his dates mixed up.
And March 9th would happen, and it wasn't, it's a bit awkward. All right, no, I got it wrong. It's going to be sort of July 4th, and then it doesn't happen then. I found myself sort of rooting for this guy. You know what I mean? By the end, I'm kind of going, God, he can't be wrong every time, can he?
Please make it be Judgment Day this time.
just so it's less awkward. But I'm looking, so Harold, I mean, he's been very quiet recently, hasn't he? He's said very little of it, but he's kind of gone, all right, I'm probably out of all this. But not this guy, not the end of the world is nigh guy in Covent Garden wandering around with his sandwich board. It's a bold move, isn't it, to have a sandwich board saying it?
Yeah.
And you have all these people who say that 2012 is going to be the end of... Who was it?
Mayan prophecy, wasn't it?
The Mayans said it.
Mayan.
Is it Mayan or Mayan?
I think it's Mayan, isn't it? I'm not sure.
Well, they seemed very confident, didn't they? I mean, I've never been as confident in their prophecies as the Mayans seem to be. I'm so confident I would happily invest in a Mayan 2013 calendar. You know what I mean? I would invest in that business. I think that's quite a good, not a bad marketing idea,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Get that out there. You're confident in that. But they were always saying that 2012 would be the end of the world.
They
so maybe
stop
this
harping on about it, wouldn't they?
Oh, they loved it. Yeah. It was like their thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And this guy, I mean, maybe you know, it seems weird that he's popped up now at the same time in the same year, or maybe he's just a Mayan fan. Could be one of those guys. I don't know. What's happening there? They said that 2012 would be the end of the world, and that's why they're better than Harold Camping, because that was miles away, right? Yeah. No one could disprove it. They just looked wise. They'd be going, oh, you know, end of the world, 2012. And everyone, they can't disprove it. They're going, oh, well, it must be then. It must be something like that. But they didn't foresee the end of their own civilization, did they?
They didn't, no.
That was the mistake they made there. So they made a few errors, but this could be it. It's always been. There was that film, 2012, wasn't there? I mean, how confident are you that we are going to see this year out?
I'm pretty confident. I mean, some guy in a sandwich board isn't going to put me off. I think we're going to be fine.
You think so?
Yeah.
But what if he's right? What if he's the one guy? It's very arrogant of you to assume that this man knows less than you.
Call me arrogant. I don't care.
Well, you're arrogant. I just looked this up as well. Just looked this up on my computer. Just tapped in Mayans. Does say that they managed to predict the Spanish invasion to the exact date. That's what I'm reading here on the computer.
Oh.
The exact date they managed to get.
So that was the end of their civilization, wasn't it?
Well, they've got some form, though maybe that just gave the Spanish the idea.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going, well, should we invade? Should we invade? Oh, well, it says here we're invading on July 14th or something like that. Well, we better had to. I think we're going to be all right. Although we should maybe track this end of the world guy down and maybe get him in the show. What do you think?
Yeah, get him in with the anybody's lost or need information, man.
All the characters of London, welcome on this show. X.
F.
Hey, we're going to do Angry Nerds this morning. That's what we're going to do. If you're angry and you're feeling a bit nerdy, get IT off your chest.
IT off
your chest. Plenty of very specific angry nerd rants already coming in to 83936. It's to do with GPS, junctions, office documents. But what about us? What about in the studio? Hey, I'll start. Hey, unstable apps. Why are you so unstable? You know? Stability is my number one request in an app. If it's unstable, I'm out. Stop trying to convince me I want bells and whistles. Keep your bells and stuff your whistles. Just keep it stable and shut up. Matt.
Darn you to hell, camera phone.
Yeah.
Why is your little slider from picture to video so minuscule and the icons so similar that it's never clear which mode I'm in? Yeah. So many short 2-second video clips of a group of people all stood in a row smiling. And what do you suppose I do with them?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no use to me.
No use to that. Hey, what the heck has happened to infotainment? Huh? It was the buzzword of the 90s, you know? Where is the CD-ROM revolution? I want interactive guides to, like, the Globe Theatre or fully clickable illustrations of the Spanish Armada. Where's my infotainment gone? Well, it's not here on XFM. I will tell you that for nothing.
We are XFM.
It's weird. It's not as many people celebrating in Flying Ants Day as I thought there'd be. I thought we'd really tapped into something here. You know, when there are sort of benchmarks, are sort of those all through the year, and you know, everyone's going to be celebrating Christmas, everyone's going to be doing this around Easter, you know, but Flying Ants Day, I mean, maybe they're too busy doing their preparations or something.
Yeah.
It's weird. Is there a problem with our tech system?
Well, that's what I was thinking at one point.
Yeah, because it could just be that. I mean, we've had quite a few, but just it hasn't, in a sense, flown in the way that you would expect. I mean, all the other radio stations are probably doing Flying Ant Day celebrations about now. And
absolutely.
I don't know. Maybe people are just, don't say that word. People are probably just a bit sick of, you know, flying ant texters.
Mm.
Well, let's work with what we've got. Because there are people out there. There are people out there willing to celebrate our little winged masters. Are they winged masters? I just opened up the story to remind myself what Flying Ant Day. Well, it's a yearly mating ritual that see pavements and gardens covered with swarms of insects. Yeah. Maybe that was the mistake. Maybe people don't like that. Maybe people aren't into it. Matt, how are people celebrating?
Well, Sachbinder in Staines is celebrating Flying Ant Day by repeatedly biting his brother and dog. So they receive an allergic reaction.
Right. I see, I see. Nice. Good work. Stu on the M25 is just stepping into his ant pants. Do drive carefully. Dex the Skeptic just repeatedly tweeting. Happy Flying Ant Day, happy Flying Ant Day, happy Flying Ant Day. Let's make our winged friends welcome. George the Master Plumber, as you well know, due to the summer of events, the upcoming summer of events, East London has a no-fly zone. How are our little ant buddies going to cope? I don't know. What else, man?
Well, Gemma in Bromley isn't really getting behind Flying Ant Day.
Oh, Gemma, come on. All you naysayers are negatrons. Yeah. The same with the Olympics. Just get behind this.
She says she cowers away in a dark corner with a shoe in hand to fend off the winged demons.
Well, there's something wrong with you.
Until the coast is clear.
Come on.
She does this every Flying Ant Day, or what she calls the most dreaded day of the year.
What a killjoy! And this is great. This is from a first-time texter. So they've been listening to the show for goodness knows how long, right? And only this has grabbed them and they've gone, at last, here we go, I'm in. He says, I plan to celebrate Flying Ant Day by laying naked in the garden, covered head to toe in jam to attract the ants. And when they arrive, I plan to mate with as many as possible. Happy Flying Ants Day, everybody. XFL. Do you want my showbiz update, Matt?
Yes, please.
Okay, can you let me know your Man on the Street style reaction to the following? Well, Cheryl Cole wishes people would listen to her lyrics.
What lyrics?
Adele loves buying £1 pants.
Of course she does.
Elton John's son enjoys the piano. Of
course he does.
J-Lo was spotted relaxing on holiday.
Of course she does.
Eric Cantona recently kicked a table, Matt.
Oh, he's quite an angry man, isn't he?
Yeah. Talisa's got a savings account. These are all from the papers today.
Talisa's got a savings account.
That's right. She's saving up some money.
Gosh, she'd have thought it.
Mark Wright says he is, if he is going to star in a film, it has to be a good one.
Okay, yeah.
Kelly Osbourne has a picture of her standing next to a tall lady. Nicole Scherzinger was bought an economy flight by X-Factor bosses. She was furious. Tamara Eccleston's taking her dog for a walk. There's exclusive pictures in The Sun. That's page 9.
Oh, wow. Must get on there.
Lady Gaga's bought a tiara. It's a little expensive one as well. It's £30,000. What must Lord Gaga make of this? She's such a spendthrift.
Yeah.
And he's in there, isn't he? Lord Gaga in what is it? Probably like a little mansion or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, he's getting the bills. He's going through all the bills. Oh, Lady Gaga. She's bought another tiara. He's having to work harder and harder to support Lady Gaga's tiara habit.
Yeah.
She's out there just singing, isn't she?
She spends a fortune on meat just to wear it. I don't even get to eat it.
Poor Lord Gaga. He's like, he's like Richard, who was married to Hyacinth Bouquet.
Yeah, yeah, he is.
Just a really ordinary man, just sort of there. Oh,
yeah.
This marriage was a mistake.
We never hear his side of things, do we?
We never hear from Lord Gaga. Matt, are you there?
I am there, Danny.
Hello, Matt. How are you? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Talk me through your emotions at this stage of the morning.
I'm unbelievably excited. Excellent. I'm playing the world famous quiz face.
Yeah, absolutely, Matt. Absolutely. And you're joined this morning by Mark on line 2. Mark, are you there?
Hello, Danny. I'm here.
Good. Do you want to echo Matt's sentiments there, but in your own unique way?
Well, quiz face is a legend.
There you go. That's lovely. Thank you, boys. Very much indeed. I assume you both know the rules by now. You should know the rules by now.
Yeah.
Yes, I know the rules.
Then let's get to quizzical. Quiz face. Well, Matt and Mark. It's the morning after the night before, isn't it? These streets of London are littered with them. Exhausted, bedraggled. Propped up against doorways and drowsy and woozy with the sheer effort of it all, but satisfied and happy and spent. I'm talking, of course, of Britain's flying ants, boys. Now, yesterday, as we revealed, it was nuptial day. The country's favourite holiday, Flying Ants Day, in which tens of millions of flying ants take to the skies in search of the elusive virgin queen, so they might procreate, ensuring the continuation of the ant master race for another generation. Matt, this morning you'll be taking the part of a young army ant, winged and primed. Okay, Matt, you're in the parent colony awaiting takeoff. Mark, that means, of course, you are the virgin queen.
Of course, yes.
You've scattered to avoid outcrossing. I don't need to tell you that. Your abdomen is primed, ready to receive Matt. Remember, you want to move quickly and erratically so as to ensure only the fittest and most suitable males are able to provide you, Mark, with offspring. So, Mark, release your pheromones.
Release the pheromones.
He's released them. Okay, the pheromones are out. Army Ant, Matt, prepare for takeoff, please.
Prepare for takeoff.
That'll
taking
do.
Off.
And he's off. He's off. Oh, up in the air he goes. Oh, he's so beautiful. Matt, what's it like up there? Talk me through what you can see.
It's blue, Daddy. It's blue.
It's just blue. It's just blue. That means you're probably just... You can look around because you're just looking up, aren't you, at the blue sky. What about looking down? What's happening down there?
There's a lamppost or something like that. There's
some kind of lamppost. Wow. Okay, you're flying out from the parent colony, Matt. You're rising high in the air. And look, just up ahead, you can't believe it, but there she is already. It's the Virgin Queen. Describe her, Matt. Describe her.
She's voluptuous.
Oh, yeah. She's one sexy ant. Virgin Queen. Mark, remember, you don't want to be caught. Shout evade to evade the army ant. Shout evade.
Evade.
Okay, army ant, you want this. Shout chase to chase.
Chase
the chase. The chase is on. Virgin Queen, evade him.
Evade.
Army ant, chase her.
Chase the chase. Oh.
And then, oh my goodness. And then, something about this young buck catches your eye, Virgin Queen. What is it about him that draws you so? Could it be there's a smell, maybe? Or the look in one of his many eyes? The way you sensed he emerged from his pupa case. You decide to mate with him, don't you? This is the one to dance, the dance of love, the dance that ants have danced for all eternity. The one sweet second that will unite you forever and bring about a whole new generation of magical beings. Shout yes. Yes, I will mate with you. Mark? Shout, yes, I will mate with you.
Yes, I will mate with you.
Oh, there you go. It's pretty quick, pretty quick. Well done, very efficient. You've mated with him. But now, only one of you can survive. Who will it be? I'm going to ask you to buzz in with your names. If you get the question right, you have... Well, no. Not yet, there will be a question. If you get the question right, you've got one more test to win the downloads. Army Ant, you will shout Army Ant if you know the answer. Virgin Queen, you will shout Virgin Queen if you know the answer. Let's test your buzzers. Army Ant, first of all.
Army Ant.
Virgin Queen, let's test your buzzer.
Virgin Queen.
Okay, Matt will adjudicate. Now, at the start of this quiz, I told you that Flying Ant Day was also known by another term. It was a something day. What was it? No one knows. It was Nuptial Day or Nuptial Flight. Here's another question. What did the Virgin Queen release to attract her mate?
Army Ant.
Army Ant, that was you?
It's pheromones.
Correct! You've survived! Yay. Death to the Virgin Queen! Death to the Virgin Queen! Which means that to win the downloads, all you have to do is to complete the well-known phrase, we are...
XFM!
He's done it! He's done it! They said it couldn't be done. You proved them wrong. Celebrating Flying Ant Day, we are XFM.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Well, as a gentleman, who's got a little garden, he's very proud of his garden. He loves his garden. He's one of those people, if someone says, you can't do that in your garden, he says, yes, I can, right? You know, you always get these stories about someone whose tree is 2 or 3 inches over the neighbour's garden, or maybe their fence is slightly too high.
Yeah.
And you get those meddlers, don't you? Well, here's a classic case of meddling. Just because this guy has, for 8 years, trimmed one of his plants, a big bush, to look like an extended middle finger. I mean, what's the world coming to when you can't have a giant extended middle finger in your garden facing all your neighbours?
Making topiary fun.
Yeah.
And it should be encouraged.
This is political correctness gone what?
It's mad.
Absolute madness. So Warwickshire police have told... And the papers are being very kind to this guy, Richard Jackson. They're calling him Creator. Creator Richard Jackson. This cheeky garden humour must be altered, as it is considered a public offence. In response, though, this is amazing, his neighbours in Tamworth in Staffordshire have actually started a Save the Bush campaign.
Oh, really? Wow.
So his neighbours have, you know, it's that thing of you don't know where you got till it's gone.
Yeah.
And these guys are going, well, we could lose the giant extended middle finger, single-handedly dragging down property prices in the local area. We cannot lose this extended middle finger topiary. So Mr. Jackson said, I carved the bush into a middle finger 8 years ago. There's only ever been one complaint about it made recently. Oh, these killjoys, eh? I was contacted by the police and they said the council had been in touch because somebody had complained. Apparently one person was offended by it. So the police say it's a public order offence. He says, I don't intend to change it though. I'm not a troublemaker. Well, I don't want to offend anyone. So why have you done that? I don't want to offend anyone. Why have you done it then?
Yeah.
It's a really odd...
Why have you spent hours carving that out of a bush?
Yeah, and not just the hours initially doing it, but the years and years of
keeping
relentless that, yeah. keeping, garden keeping. It does sound... You know what it reminds me of? Remember you had to trim that rose bush?
Oh, yeah.
And you slightly over-trimmed it, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So that it was basically not a rose bush anymore. It looked like a picture of Armageddon. It was just...
Trimmed it back, yeah.
Yeah, trimmed it back. It reminds me of something you do. You're just kind of going, you're trying to make something nice out of this out of this bush. And you just keep on going until the only thing you can make out of it is an extended middle finger. It's the Matt Dyson way.
Yeah.
We are... So, 4 hours of very important broadcasting, but what have we learned from it, Matt?
Well, in the same way that Danny arms us for the day with water cooler chat with his showbiz news,
that's right.
My travel also informs and educates London, but sometimes our in-jokes can end in disaster.
Uh-oh.
Poor old Lewis in Wandsworth texted in earlier after he embarrassed himself at a dinner party recently, telling his friends all about the Ted Danson interchange and how it's named after the former Cheers star.
Oh.
It is, of course, not.
All right, fair enough. We also talked to Phyllis today, who told us how charming she is and coined the phrase rings of many colours to help us describe the upcoming season of events. This was added to by Pedant Marina, who describes medals as post-Stone Age, pre-Iron Age metal. Thank you. We'll incorporate that into our own lexicon. Today's important broadcast also involved two confirmed listeners, Matt and Mark, mating in midair as Matt became a lowly worker ant charged with the mission of making love to Mark, the beautiful virgin queen. In real life, since the show, they've got married. So there you go. That was podcast 53 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And I'll tell you what, thank you for listening to podcast 53. We'll be back. Podcast 54. Next time. Hilda Hooker. Bye-bye. Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.